Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Health Wealth Podcast. We have another great episode this week. I am joined by Katie Bramlett, who is the founder and owner of a company called WeShape. And we're going to be talking today about health and fitness and mindset and the cultural views that come with it. So, Katie, thank you very much for coming on the show. How are you today?
Thank you for having me. I'm great. I'm excited to have this conversation.
Brilliant. And let's jump in at the start and just give us a bit of background on who you are, your journey to get to where you are today. What got you into the health and fitness space? And just give us a bit of background.
Yeah, well, as you mentioned, I'm one of the co-founders of WeShape. Before we had WeShape, I always like to give context as to how we got to WeShape. My co-founder and I actually used to have a different company before this company. It was a body transformation business. We did a prescriptive diet and exercise plans to help people lose weight and transform their bodies. And it was really interesting to be in that company and watch thousands of people buy our products and never really feel happy. So, I always tell people that my Instagram life looked really good. We were selling a lot of products. Our company was scaling and growing. We had made the Inc. 500 3 years in a row. Everything was good, but something inside didn't feel quite right to me. And so I began to get curious with that feeling and investigate it despite all of the validation I was getting from the external world that like, wow, your business is going well. Everything's great. And I'm like, yeah, but something doesn't feel quite right. So I started to notice this pattern that people would lose weight and it would never be good enough. They would still never really have body acceptance. They still lacked self-love and self-respect. And I started to kind of investigate that further. At the same time, my co-founder was, he's really passionate about moving well and getting people to think about exercise through the lens of movement and not through the lens of how hard can you work out and how many days are you working out, but like, how does your body move? Because the reality is aging is inevitable. The body ages, whether we like it or not. And how you move is directly linked to how your body feels a lot of the time. So he was kind of dissecting this exercise piece and I was sort of dissecting this mentality piece. And we kind of came together and said, you know, while this business is going well, we're lacking some meaning here and we need to shift directions completely. So we shut that company down and we started WeShape. So he focuses a lot on the movement side, getting people to move better and feel better in their body. And I focus a lot on the mentality side. And one of the biggest things I can say to kind of start that conversation, having experience in the body transformation company, was people were after weight loss and body transformation. But what I discovered is that they were actually after body acceptance, self-acceptance, value, worth, and love. That's what us all human beings want to know. Like, am I valuable? Am I lovable? Am I worth it? And we often use diet and exercise and like programs and weight loss as a vehicle for getting that validation. And what I can tell you, watching thousands of people transform their bodies, is it never really ended in the way they thought it would. So that's how we started WeShape, and that's the work we're doing today.
Yeah, that's brilliant. I think you're completely right with that number on the scale. It's never going to satisfy you, is it? It's one of them things where once you get there, it's like, what now? Something else. You're never happy, are you?
No, and that's what I tell people. You know, at WeShape, we're really just like offering a container for whatever people need. So sometimes people still are in that space of like, I just want to do the weight loss. And I'm like, okay, I'll hold the container for you to, I'm not going to give you like a plan for how to do that, but I'll hold the container and give you a great exercise product and a great community. But I often remind people that if you can't feel that acceptance for who you are today and the body that you have today, the weight loss will not change that mindset. It's a mindset thing. It's not a weight thing.
Yeah. I agree. And I think everything starts with the mindset. You're right. You have to get that right. Whatever you're going to do, whatever changes you're going to make, you definitely have to start with the mindset. That's right.
Are you struggling to lose weight? Have you tried all of the fad diets with no success? This is the one reason that you keep failing and gaining the weight back. You're doing a diet instead of a lifestyle. Nobody keeps up a diet long term. Eventually, it becomes too much and you go back to your old eating ways and the weight comes back on. This is where our 12-week fat loss plan is completely different. This is not a diet. It's a 12-week journey of learning how to implement simple, healthy, and sustainable eating habits that allow you to maintain your fat loss for the long term. Diets are based on the principle of eat less, move more, which are the two main ingredients of increasing hunger. And in the long term, hunger will always win and your diet will fail. We have a very different approach. There is zero calorie counting involved. You do not need to restrict the amount of food you eat. You need to eat the right foods. The reason our method does not fail is because we're not starving your body. We give the body everything it needs to be satiated, to be healthy, and to increase our metabolic rate, which all contributes to easy, consistent weight loss. Sound too good to be true? Fortunately, we have plenty of testimonials on our website from clients who've already experienced how well this works. What do you get with the 12-week fat loss plan? First off, you get an introductory call with an expert health coach. You get personalized nutrition and exercise plans, and you get 4 weekly check-in calls to keep you on track. 24/7 support on WhatsApp, and most of all, you get the knowledge to put in place these new habits and lifestyle that are going to improve your health and weight for the rest of your life. Get signed up today by clicking the link below or in the description.
So when people come to you, and I imagine especially if people are coming from this space where they've been just concentrating on weight loss and all of this stuff, what are some of the things that you have to address to try and get their mind in the right place?
Yeah. So oftentimes people come to us for a workout because, like I said, my co-founder is obsessed with quality movement and getting people to connect their body and their mind. So we actually have a technology-driven exercise product that allows people to self-select like scalability in real time in the workout. So it's like extremely customizable to every person's needs. We can accommodate people who are bedridden all the way to like professional athletes. Like that is the scalability that we have. So oftentimes people come into us for a workout and then we go, uh-oh, surprise, you're going to get so much more if you desire. But one of the first things people come in and say is, how many times a week should I work out? And then I reflect back to them, I don't know. Like, what do you think your body needs, right? And then isn't it so funny that we think that bodies are like computers, that like we could just program in the right thing and then it'll just spit out the it's like, what if you don't sleep good one night? What if you have an injury? What if, you know, it's like, I don't know. You can have an intention of shooting for a couple times a week, but maybe that being flexible in that and having, you know, listening to your body is sort of the first step. So when people come in, we often ask them to evaluate their intention. Why are you here and what are you hoping to do? And we kind of go from there. And then we have a couple other pillars that we ask people to really tap into. One is around focusing on movement rather than exercise. I mean, it's similar, but not quite. Yeah. So when you go to start an exercise program and you're so focused on the aesthetic, you lose the important part of movement. And movement is in my opinion, like freedom from pain. And it's something that can be the most sustainable thing you can offer your body at the age of 20, 30, 80, you know, like it's the thing, if you focus on a movement centered program, that's something that can be with you now and through the rest of your life. We also ask people to focus on community. A lot of what we're talking about here on the mentality side is counter to the culture that we live in. And being able to feel supported in this new path is extremely important. Otherwise, you're going to feel isolated and alone. So we offer multiple calls a day via Zoom where members can connect with each other and have community calls. And then we also are asking people to kind of tap into our fourth pillar, which is about beliefs. So we believe that all human behaviors come from our beliefs. And if we can start to at least be curious about what those beliefs are, we don't have to change them on day one, but can we be curious about them? And can that curiosity lead to maybe evaluating if the beliefs that we have are actually serving us, or if there are other beliefs that might better serve our psychological, emotional, and physical well-being?
Yeah, that's great. I'd love to dig into all of them. I'll start off with the, you know, the beliefs is that's really important what you say about that. I think a lot of people drift through life, not really understanding why they have the beliefs they have. So I think, you know, stopping and questioning them is a great start, because I think a lot of beliefs we have, firstly, we don't know where they come from, and secondly, they're probably not doing us any good. So, you know, as like you said, if you can start to change your beliefs and your, I guess it's linked to your values as well, isn't it? Your beliefs and your values kind of tie in and start to get them in a more positive place.
Yeah, and we often ask people to ask the question why, and then to like get that answer and then ask why like 3 to 5 more times.
Yeah.
And we usually get to the heart of it through that series of questions. But the tricky thing is some of the beliefs that we have think they actually serve us. And that's why it gets a little complicated. So just a personal example of this, especially when I was in the other company, I was quote unquote doing everything, you know, in quotes, the right way. I was being praised for my overly conscious approach to food and move and exercise. But in reality, my new perspective is that I actually probably had disordered eating, and my thoughts and life was consumed by the food that I was eating. And at the time, my belief was that I was a healthy person. So you see how that's really confusing, right? At the time, I was considering myself very healthy and doing all the right things. But when I became detached from that belief and started in getting curious and investigating, is this really serving me, even though I'm getting so much validation? I discovered that it was not. And then when I went down a different path and developed a different relationship with my belief around food and started down sort of like that different path, my new path serves me so much better. But it was complicated because I was getting validation and praise from the outside world. But when I sat with that question for a while, I started going, no, I'm constantly stressed out. I'm constantly conscious. I'm constantly anxious. I am consumed by thoughts of food. And now I don't have that. Or at least definitely not as much. It's still a work in progress. But do you see my point? It's kind of confusing when you're getting so much praise and validation for that way, but sitting with yourself and being curious and saying, I have this belief. I think it serves me. I'm being told it serves me, but does it actually serve me? And is there another way that I might be willing to explore? I think are really important starting points.
Yeah, definitely. I love that. Just ask why, and just keep asking why. That's a great place to start, because I think if we ask ourselves why about a lot of our beliefs, like I said, I think many of us don't have an answer for why, and then you can start to dig into, like you said, is it serving you? And I love what you're saying about the movement too. You know, when people think about, you know, fitness and exercise and stuff, and they just think about in the gym, you know, pumping iron and going crazy. But like you said, movement in his functional movement is a big thing. And as you said, when I get to 70, 80 years old, I want to be able to do the things that I want to do. And just killing yourself in the gym every day is not actually the best way to achieve that.
Yeah, like for example, one of the things that we've noticed in a lot of our so one of we have lots of community calls every day. One of the type of calls we have is a movement related call. So if people do have movement related questions, they can speak with our co-founder or a physical therapist. And it's actually really surprising to see a certain demographic of people having so many issues with their feet. Like it's like this interesting phenomenon that we've discovered is like after a certain age, the feet become, and it's like, who's talking about that in their exercise program?
Yeah.
Right? And it's like, it's things we don't think about because we're so focused on doing it right now. But it's like, what does it actually mean to serve my phys? If I could take away all of the beliefs I have around what it means to be physically fit, and I could figure out a way to attune to what my body needs now and for the long haul, would I be doing the exercise plan that I'm doing now? I don't know, right? So it's like, that's why we're trying to just tap into the movement piece of it. Like, how do you move? Where do you have movement dysfunction? All of us have movement dysfunction. That's just part of being a human being, right? You get an injury in your ankle and suddenly your right shoulder's bothering you, right? That's not by chance. But our culture and the fitness industry does not focus on that. And that was one of the problems we found when we were developing WeShaper. Like, what are the big problems in the fitness industry and how can we help solve those? There were two main problems that we discovered. It's one, there is no industry standard in the fitness industry for high quality exercise. It's all just, you know, objective. It's like, yeah. It's like whatever people it's it. And a lot of it is driven by marketing. And I know because remember I made the Inc. 500 three times. And so I know how to sell fitness, right? So we discovered like there's no high quality. Like you could go see a personal trainer and I could go see a personal trainer. Your personal trainer could have a 16-hour personal training course. Mine could be working on their doctorate degree in physical therapy. They're both personal trainers, but they're vastly different approaches and different experiences. So we have decided that we need to come in and address this problem and set a standard for high quality exercise in the fitness industry. One that's not rooted in how much money a company can make, one that's rooted in what does the human body actually need and how do we serve that part. It's not as sexy, it's not as marketable, but it is what the human body actually needs. So that's why we're focusing on the movement side.
Yeah, that's brilliant. I love that. And as you say, the fitness industry is full of marketing, the health and fitness industry. You know, most of it is all just marketing and there's a lot that's out there that's a load of rubbish. So, you know, the fact that you guys are doing that is brilliant. I think that's really important. I think you mentioned before, I think you used the word about freedom, having the freedom of movement. And that's really important. Like I said, you want to be able to do the things that you do now. You want to be able to enjoy them when you're old. And so you've got to move right for that. So I imagine, is there lots of mobility exercises and things like that that you do to help people?
Yeah. So when we discovered that there's this problem in the fitness industry, we said, okay, how would we solve that problem? And we discovered, well, if you had a really high quality program, like a personal trainer who had specific training and movement, they would develop a program for you that's based on all of what your body needs, right? Because every part of your body is a little different. Maybe you have a lot of strength and mobility in your quads, but maybe you don't in your shoulder, right? Yes. So we said, well, how is that going to be possible? Not everybody can afford a high quality personal trainer. So that's where we developed a technology that comes in, and it's really complicated behind the scenes, but for the customer, they just push play. So what happens is people come in, they take a quiz. We try to understand what your body's capable of and where maybe you have some limitations or injuries. And then we have thousands of video files that we pull from in real time based on what you're needing for that day. And it can be adjusted in real time. So yeah, we don't require any equipment. We're trying to get people to connect with their body. So it's all a lot of like movement-based exercises. I try to remind people are so nervous when I tell them about this approach. Like, I'm not going to get a good workout. I'm like, push play and I promise you will. So we do, yeah, we do squats, we do push-ups, we do these things. But like, for instance, our push-up might have like 10 to 15 variations. Right. So it's that we call them micro movement progressions. So we can accommodate any level at any point in that micro movement progression. And then we're helping you master that movement before we put you to the next micro movement progression. So yeah, it's movement based. It doesn't require any equipment. We also do really unsexy things. Like we ask people to learn how to properly brace their core, and we practice breathing exercises and core stabilization movements in the beginning of each. I remember when we first launched the product, I went to my co-founder and said, oh, I don't like the breathing stuff. It's so boring. Can we just take that out? And he said, you're making me crazy. That's like it's like a foundational thing people need. That's why people have so many back injuries. We don't know how to properly brace our core and actually breathe in the way that needs to. So he's like, absolutely not. We're not removing that. So yeah. So there's a variety of mobility, breathing, core bracing, and then various body weight movements that we do to comprise our exercises for the day.
That's awesome. You make a great point there that there's a lot of people out there doing exercises wrong. And you know, that while it can be okay sometimes, that it can lead to, you know, injuries and serious injuries, not doing them right. And obviously you said before about there's no kind of quality control. So yeah, that's a great point. If you're doing exercises, you need to make sure you're doing them right and making sure you've got the right information. So that's great that it's really just showing people exactly how to do it and walking them through, and breathing, of course, is really important too.
Nowadays, struggling with health issues has become so common that we've started to accept it as an inevitable part of aging. 95% of the world's population today suffer with some kind of health issue, and over a third of all people have five or more health conditions. Now, despite the prevalence, this is not normal. The majority of the main culprits, like diabetes, hypertension, cancer, heart disease, autoimmune and bowel conditions, they were pretty much unheard of just 100 years ago. Now, with all the technology and medical advances we've made, shouldn't our health be getting better, not worse? 100 years ago, we didn't have the medications we have access to now, yet health was much better. How can this be? The answer is that these are all lifestyle and metabolic conditions. They're caused by our diet, environment, medications, and how we're living our lives. Yes, it all sounds pretty bleak, but there is some good news. These conditions are all reversible. By changing the very things that caused them, we can reverse these health conditions and get back to being healthy. Now, to achieve this, we use a natural, holistic approach to optimize every area of your life, from your diet, your sleep, exercise, environment, and more. By doing this, we avoid the need for any medications that always come with harmful side effects. In fact, medical negligence is the third highest cause of death worldwide, and a lot of the current health epidemic is conditions that are caused by the very medicines that are supposed to be helping. There's a steady pattern of the more medications you take, the sicker you get, and all they do is cover up the symptoms but never deal with the actual cause. We like to concentrate on root cause healing, getting to the bottom of what's causing your health issues and rectifying that first. Now, if you spent years in the medical system, your health steadily declining, getting frustrated, and on more and more medications, maybe it's time for a change. Why not try a different approach and see what we can do for you? The majority of medications you're put on are for life, and you just have to accept it. You do not need us for life. Our approach is one of education. We teach you how to take control of your health on your own, so you never need to rely on any other person or medication again. The long-term solution is not us, it's you. For more information, visit our website, healthwealthuk.com, where you can book a free discovery call with an expert health coach. And let's get optimal together.
Another thing I want to talk about, which I think is brilliant, is your community side. I think having that support, having that community is so important. So what's kind of, I think you said you were kind of more behind that side of it. What really drove you to that? Did you have personal experiences that helped you towards that side of it?
Well, it was funny. I have to be honest. I heard about this study done by neuroscientist Wendy Suzuki. She wanted to understand longevity more, I believe, and she knew that exercise was going to be a main contributor of that. But when she completed the study, I think she discovered something that was very surprising, which was exercise was not the number one thing that contributed. And what was people's ability to be tapped into a community. And she said she made it a point to mention that it wasn't just that they were connected with like best friends. It was that they were connected. It could be simple community interactions, like the interaction you have with a barista at the coffee shop. So when I heard that, and then I also kind of knew, you know, we're going to be telling people things that are not in accordance with the mainstream marketing media that they're seeing. We have to have community in here so that people can support one another. And we realized how important that piece was for people's overall holistic well-being. So yeah, we decided to have, so in our product, we have a community forum where people can connect and post and chat. And then again, we have multiple calls a day where people can hop on the line. We have like some topical conversations, some open shares, some movement related experts who can come in and help if you're having things happening with your body. And then we also have experts that come in and do guest appearances. So I'll have like clinical psychologists or, you know, toxic diet culture experts come in and they'll do like a quick presentation around maybe body acceptance or how to unsubscribe from some of these beliefs. And then we'll have open Q&A with some of the expert panels as well.
Yeah, that's brilliant. It's so important, I think, especially like you said, when people are doing something that's different to the norm, they do need that support because nobody really likes to go against the grain on their own, do they? And I know that with the in the, you know, the blue zones, you know, they're a bit up for debate about them. But one of the main things they have is that community. And that is one of the things, again, that people researching them believe is linked to that longevity, you know, same as in the lady's research that you described, that, you know, community is really important, I think, to us as humans. So that's great. That's great that you have that as well.
Yeah, I've noticed a lot of people really fully be able to tap in. And I'll never forget one of the times I was hosting one of the calls and a woman joined and she was reluctant to speak, which was fine. We don't require anyone speak. Sometimes people just join the call and listen. But she said, oh, I didn't know if I could come today because I haven't done a workout in 2 weeks. And I said, oh, no, you're missing the point. You actually should be sitting in gratitude that you came to this call, right? Like we're not this community is not about judging or criticizing or shaming our way to this other version of ourselves. We know that doesn't work. We've all done that for decades. This is about offering no judgment, support, community, and self-grace and kindness. So, and then she was like, oh, okay. Like you could just tell she shifted and said, oh, I'm happy. You know, it's like, we're not here to keep track. In fact, we're really adamant in our program and our product about not doing all of these badges and different things. It's like we do a check-in every month. We have a feel-good score where we check in and do like a little quiz every month with our users where it says like, how did you sleep? How's your self-confidence? How's your energy? How's your aches and pains? I know people love to track stuff. So I don't want to like keep that out, but I want to have an intention of tracking other things rather than how many workouts did you do? And what does the scale say? Like, we're not tracking those things. We're tracking how you feel. And we're making sure you're plugged into community and that we're addressing self-confidence and that we're making sure you're not in pain and that you're sleeping well and that you have energy, right? So just a couple of the ways that we're really trying to shift that other pillar of intention.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's great. People have to understand that health is a whole thing, you know, from a holistic approach. It's not just, as you said, your diet, your exercise, it's stress, it's sleep, it's all these other things that go towards your happiness that are healthy. You don't have to be able to run a marathon to say you're healthy. You know, you need to be in the right place and be happy. So I think that's a great place to come from. What do you find are some of the main, I mean, I know you said it's kind of going against some of the mainstream ideals on health and fitness. And what are some of the main things that you find people struggle with when they're changing over to this new way of thinking about it?
That my weight is the number one factor of my overall health. That how many times a week I'm working out is another factor of my overall health. It's like we have a podcast as well as a way of offering educational opportunities to expose different beliefs that could better serve us. It's called the Feeling Lighter Podcast. And I had a guest on recently. I don't think this episode has released yet, but it will soon, where we had a guest expert talking about dozens of different health behaviors that contribute to our overall health. And I believe she said diet and exercise, it was like under 10% of the overall contribution, right? We completely forget about many, many, many health behaviors that we can have that contribute to our overall health. And going back to that example where I was so obsessive with my nutrition and food, I didn't realize it at the time, but I can look back now and go, oh my God, I was so stressed out. I was not, you know, it's like we're not placing enough value on the other health behaviors. Now, this is not to say that we're going to minimize what we might, you know, moving our body. We know that that probably helps us feel good. I'm not going to minimize food that we eat, but I'm not going to shame and judge the food that people eat. right? Like I used to, I have a much greater variety of food now. And some people would even say, oh, well, some of those choices aren't quote unquote healthy, but my relationship with food and my overall stress and well-being is so much lower that I just don't worry about those things anymore. So it's not to say that I can go and eat pizza all day, every day and feel good. I'm more in touch with my body to know that maybe not every day, but definitely not going to have shame and judgment when I do feel like having that, right? So it's more of this dance that I do with my body now. And as a result, I have a lot less stress. I have a lot more freedom. I have a lot more body acceptance. I have more time and energy to make other health choices, sleeping more, going on hikes and walks with friends more, like community relationships more. Those are other things that dramatically impact my overall well-being. My point being, we can't just narrow it down to diet and exercise. It is significantly more than that. And that is something I think that's hard for people to understand when they come into our community. And I understand we live in a culture that tells us our entire health is based on diet, exercise, and what the scale says. And we're here to say, maybe not.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's finding that balance between everything. Like you said, diet and exercise are part of it. But yeah, if you're getting obsessed with it and you're stressed and you're not sleeping, that you're just canceling out anything you're doing on the diet and exercise side anyway. So you need to have that balance. When you obviously you were in the more mainstream health and fitness world before with your company, was it, you know, did you experience some of those toxic cultures then when you had that business?
I mean, we were swimming in it. We were in the sea of it. Absolutely. Just to watch like what like people's self-worth, people's criticism, their judgment of self, the stress, the disappointment when they wouldn't meet their, it was just, and this, like, if I just motivate myself enough, and I'm actually allergic to the word motivation these days because I'm like, it is not that. And I often share this story. You know, I've been in the fitness industry for about 20 years now or more. And I actually hated exercise until about 2 years ago, almost 3 years ago now. But I hated exercise. It was like something I would do to check the box so that I was doing the quote unquote right healthy things. But it wasn't until I started evaluating those deeper parts of self-acceptance and self-worth that I then decided that like exercise came more naturally. I didn't have to cultivate all this motivation to do it. I intrinsically wanted to. So one of the main differences that I noticed from our old model into our new model is that the old model was so rooted in like extrinsic motivation. So getting validation from other people, getting validation from the scale, getting validation from family, friends, culture, whatever. And our new model is more focused on you and in your own experience. And whenever I come from that place, there's just a lot more intrinsic desire and ease that comes with that. It takes some work, but it's absolutely worth it. I don't have to dangle these carrots to like do a V-shape workout or go on a hike with a friend. I don't have to do, it's like, I just kind of am checking in with myself more. It's an evolution and a different type of dance now. So yeah, it's been quite a transformation to go from that experience and watch people be in that experience and come to us. And one final story I'll kind of share about the difference between that old model and this new model is sometimes we run these, what we call now these feel good challenges, right? So they're not body transformation. They're about like, how can we tap into different parts of how we feel about our body and ourselves. And I had a woman join, she was in her 70s. And at the end of the month, after we had gone through the pillars of intention and movement and community and beliefs, we asked her, like, what do you feel was the biggest thing that came from this experiment? And she said, it was funny. I definitely came here to get a workout, thinking I could just transform my body and feel good. But what actually happened for me is I had a big self transformation. And she said, what happened is now when she looks in the mirror, she realized that those voices that used to tell her, you need to lose weight, you're fat, you need to be in this pant size, you're not, you know, were not her. They were her caregivers from growing up. They were the culture. They were not her voice. And this experience with WeShape was giving her the opportunity to access her voice. And I'll just like give a little like teaser here, like the little, you know, that voice, that true, authentic voice of self, is not critical, is not judgmental. And she said one of the things she gathered from this was being able to have that voice come through, which was a voice of self-acceptance, which was a voice of self-kindness. And it just changed how she viewed her body and how she interacted with her body. And it just changed her entire experience. And that's why I say, like, people come for the workout and then we go, oh, surprise, we're actually going to address the real thing that's happening here. We'll get you a good workout too, but we're going to address the real thing that's going on.
That is brilliant. I love that. And that change in perspective, like you said, I think that's true for so many people, that those voices in their head are just, they're what society has put on us. Or as you said, maybe perhaps people in their life beforehand that have put that in there. And it's not actually them, as you say. You know, deep inside, we want to be kind to ourselves. We want to love ourselves. And so digging into that voice, that's brilliant. I love that perspective on it. That's absolutely what people need to do. I couldn't agree more.
And a clue to, like, is this me or is this something else? Is it a critical? Is it a judgment? Is it unkind? Like, that's usually our indication that, like, some investigation needs to happen there.
Yeah.
And if it is falling into that camp, then it's likely not really the true you.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I think the funny thing is that I think people sometimes think they need to, you know, be critical and punish themselves in order to get healthier and fitter, whatever that may be. But I think when you stop doing that and you accept yourself, as you say, and you change your perspective, you actually then end up being healthier than you would have been before. Like you said, you now want to do the exercise because you're mentally in the right place. So you're going to win out in the long run. So you don't need to worry about, oh, but if I don't push myself, I might not achieve my goals, because, you know, you will.
Yeah, but it did require a lot of, like, you know, a shift in my belief and a shift in my narrative, right? It did require that. And one of the things that really motivated me to do that is I have two young daughters and I started watching their relationship with food. Here I was, I thought I was doing something that was helping them, but I could actually start to see, they're becoming too diligent about certain things. We should not be thinking about that. And I remember in the beginning of this journey, I would kind of test myself and I would, on Saturday mornings, I would take them to the donut shop out of nowhere. And I'd be like, go pick out a donut. And they're like, wait, we're at the donut shop? And I'm like, just that alone, the fact that that is shocking to them is a pretty significant reflection on how restrictive I have been and how unhealthy that is, right? It's like, I'm not teaching my children to have connection with their body. I'm teaching them that this is bad. And in reality, going to the donut shop once in a while on a Saturday is totally fine. So it's a lot of just, you know, being willing to examine those beliefs and being courageous enough to say, I'm going to try something else and see if this better serves me. And then being honest with yourself. Right. Yeah. So, but it's an endeavor that has been so worthwhile for me. And I have watched my children transform their relationship with food and their connection with food in a way that was really phenomenal to see with my own eyes. So it's definitely worth the effort and energy to dissect some of these beliefs and better understand who you are and what your body might need.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's awesome to do that. And I think kids are a great example because you can see how easily, you know, people can be influenced by what's around them and their environment. And so then you can kind of think, okay, what's been influencing me? And as you said, it's great for everyone to start to question these things. For someone, you know, say someone is, they've listened to this and they've thought, okay, I need to start addressing some of this. Where's a great place for them to start? What would kind of be your first bit of advice to them?
I mean, the first question I like to ask people is, like, what have you done so far? And has it actually worked for you? And if you're listening to this and wondering what you should do, my guess is that it probably hasn't. Like, if you're in search of an answer, to me, that means that maybe the approach you've had around your health and wellness has not been working so well. And that's okay. It's often through the trial and error that we get to dissect some of these things. And so I just encourage people to not try something that's the same wrapped in a different package, right? We all do this. We go from, I don't even know if I'm allowed to say different names of companies, but I'll just take the risk. Like, we go from, like, Weight Watchers to keto to paleo to vegetarian to vegan to, it's like, it's kind of all the same wrapped in a different package, right? So I just encourage people, if you're discovering that the methodology you have used has not allowed you to have body acceptance and liberation and freedom in your mind, and you do not feel good about your relationship with your body or with movement or with food, that it's time to try like something very different, like not something that's the same wrapped in a different bow. So just kind of starting with curiosity. I believe curiosity can take us so far, and it's the first step. You can say, I'm willing to change my belief. But if you're not curious about the current beliefs you have, you'll never be able to change those. And beliefs are hard to change because we wrap our identity in those beliefs. Like, look at me. I was running a successful business that was rooted in eating a certain way, exercising a certain way, and looking a certain way and having a certain number on the scale. I had to detach my identity from that success in order to be able to have the freedom and liberation. I couldn't be in the mindset that I am today, that I have, that gives me that liberation and acceptance, and run that other company. They were in conflict. So I had to be willing to let it go. And it was not an easy journey, but I will say it was definitely worthwhile. So the first thing I ask people is just get curious about what you've done and if you're ready to try a different path. And then if you are, just that's our first pillar, is an intention. Set a different intention. Do not set a weight loss intention. Can I have an intent? What does it look like to have an intention of body, like reaching for more acceptance, self-acceptance? What is it like to have an intention of investigating, why don't I have self-worth? What is it like to investigate an intention of, I want to understand what healthy means for me, regardless of what the culture I live in says? Those are very different intentions. And I always talk about one of my favorite books in the whole world is called Seed of the Soul. I don't know if you've ever heard that book by Gary Zukav.
I haven't read it, no.
Oh, it's all about intention. And it's like, he has this idea around like, your intention, whether you know it or not, is what drives everything. So if you're able to pause and be mindful around like what your intention is, then you can actually act from that space. And so the example that I love to give is like, let's pretend you have a sister-in-law that you really don't like. We will often say something like, well, my intention is that we would just get along. But then when we actually evaluate the behaviors that we have, it's like, no, you don't. That's not your intention, right? Yeah. So then if you really sit and get mindful in what your intention is, then you can actually act from that space. And so that's what we're asking people to do, is evaluate what your intention is. And then let's keep revisiting that and act from that space. So that way, when you say, okay, my intention is to learn how to tap into better self-acceptance. Okay, great. Now when somebody says, oh, how much weight did you lose? You can say, pause. My intention is not the weight loss. My intention is self-acceptance. I'm not going to go down that path.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's great. Just reframing it, isn't it? Just getting that right mindset.
You have to check yourself. We always say our intention is something, but you know your intention is aligned if your behavior follows that intention.
Yeah, that's very true. That's an easy way to check, isn't it?
Yeah.
if you're constantly battling against it, then you need to ask yourself, is that really my intention?
And the other way you can tell is the outcome aligned with your intention? Yeah. Probably not, right? You're like, oh, I don't like my sister-in-law. Well, then your intention isn't to like her.
Yeah. That's true. That's true. Yeah, I think that's really powerful. I think people underestimate how powerful changing our mindset is and digging into it. Like you say, I think that's brilliant what you guys are doing over there. Absolutely brilliant. I love it. Listen, tell us where people can find you and how they can get in touch with you and how they can work with you and anything else they might need to know.
Yeah. So we're on every social platform. We have two social handles. One is at WeShape. That's all content related to movement. So you'll see our co-founder, Tyler, over there leading a lot of movement-specific content. And then we have at the Feeling Lighter podcast on all social media as well. And this is podcast clips where we bring in guest experts to sort of broaden our horizons and evaluate our beliefs around the mentality side. And then I actually have a special link for your listeners if they want a 2-week free trial for WeShape. They can go to weshape.com/healthwealth and they can get a 2-week free trial.
That is awesome. I would encourage people to do that. I loved hearing about it. I think your perspective on things and your companies, I think, is brilliant. And it's refreshing, I think. Like you say, we get very obsessed in the health and fitness space with weight and all these things, and a lot of it is not good for us. So I think it's a really refreshing perspective. I think it'd be great for people to definitely check that out.
Thank you so much for the opportunity to share about it.
That's all right. Thank you so much for coming on and for giving us your time. And thank you, everyone else, for being here. Hopefully you enjoyed the show, and definitely check out WeShape and also make use of that code. And we'll see you next week. And let's get optimal together.